In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I get that I'm a little different from many of the people around me, but I also know for sure that one of the things that makes me different is not all that unusual, being that kind of different. I greatly enjoy growing things. I also enjoy pruning things. I don't even mind weeding, I have to admit it. There are days when a quiet, breezy sunshine makes 2 or 3 hours out in the garden weeding a great pleasure, almost a place of solace for me, especially if it means that there will either be surviving or thriving of fledgling plants that maybe wouldn't have as good a shot at success if it wasn't for my weeding. I hate giving up on plants. I don't like cutting them down. I don't like digging them up as much as I very much like to give them every chance to survive and demonstrate their usefulness. I have to admit that I've got it so bad that almost annually I look for that moment when the local nurseries have gotten past that surge of all the late spring and early summer customers and they've got that table out where all the plants almost look dead, quite frankly, and their price is lowered to such a degree that they're practically giving them away for free instead of handing them, or almost handing them out instead of throwing them in the garbage. I take great pleasure in taking them home and giving them love and nurturing them. And I suspect if you were to wander around my yard this growing season, you're not going to be able to pick out which perennials and landscape plantings were that close to death at some point in their history. They're now thriving and looking as normal and vigorous as just about any other plant. I am very glad that our Savior God chooses patience over punishment and demonstrates a very similar perspective regarding us as sinful human beings. How about you? Jesus lays out God's preferences and perspective for a group of people who came to ask Jesus why very sudden, very awful things happen to people who appear to be innocent, seemingly innocent of any reason for it to happen. Their implication is that God is not being fair when he allows such kinds of things to happen. But Jesus' response to these people, it really truly demonstrates just the opposite. Every single person, every sinful, single human person really deserves God's abandonment or his punishment, certainly, for everything that we've done, for the sins that we've committed. And the consequence of human sin is so pervasive that without God's patient intervention, all of humanity would have been destroyed, pretty much imploding upon itself long ago. Only God's continuing patience offers any hope to humanity, to any sinful human being. So it's worth our while today to take just a minute, turn back the page, and look at this interaction with Jesus and these people and his parable that he uses as application once again. Now, there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. So it even happened in the temple. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them." So Jesus brings up another rip from the headlines occurrence that likely would be on their minds and hearts and wondering the same thing about them as they did about the Galileans in the temple. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. And then he brings out this marvelous parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. He had a rightful expectation for fruit. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Think at this moment of the other portions of Scripture that are also in front of us today on this particular Sunday in Lent, and realize that we're supposed to put together the pieces of how it is natural for human beings to feel abandoned by God. And then when the natural consequences of sin in the world around us affect those that think of themselves as more innocent than others, there's a question of fairness about God and whether he really understands and sees everything that we're going through. And yet, Moses is told by God, "I see the people. I see their suffering. I hear their cries. I understand." But it's also necessary to remember how they got in that predicament in the first place. Their ancestors had ganged up on one of their own family and sold him into slavery, which led to all of the dominoes falling, for an entire nation to be in slavery for over 4 decades. This was a result of human sin, and God was now going to intervene. And it is Paul in the lesson from Corinthians that helps us to make an application very similar to what Jesus does in these verses regarding the reality of what we're really supposed to be learning at the core of these portions of Scripture that are placed before us. So let's first talk about random victims of violence or natural disasters, because that clearly should be on our minds. Our first thought when hearing accounts of such things happening should never be, "I wonder what awful things that person or that group of people did to deserve experiencing that." Well, God makes it clear in his word that nothing is ever random in regard to allowing things to happen. Acts of human beings and the reality of nature playing itself out, the progression of sin in human hearts and the impact of sin on nature itself, these things are going to take their course. We have the promise of God, though, that he works for the good of all things in all ways for those who love him. So every time something like this happens, there is also good that is the result for someone who loves God. And so he is bringing about good even from what we view from a human perspective as to be an awful thing, maybe even an evil thing. And Jesus encourages the people listening to his response that day, and every soul like you and me reading it since, to think from the exact opposite direction. He would rather have our thought be, when first hearing about such a thing occurring, "Am I spiritually ready at any moment to have such a random act of violence or a natural phenomenon end my life? Am I ready to stand before my God?" The way Jesus lays it out, he brings a reminder that every single human being is going to experience death. There really aren't any exceptions. I mean, certainly you could come with the two from Scripture where God allowed human beings to walk with him in heaven without having experienced death here on earth, but those were the exceptions of billions and billions of people who have now lived on this earth or currently do. Everyone is going to die. So how we experience death is not nearly as important as whether or not we believe in God's promises and Jesus as our Savior at the moment when death comes for us. None of us is any better or worse necessarily than anyone else. And that has nothing at all to do with how our lives may end in some seemingly random way. None of us needs to die eternally because someone else's act of violence or some thunderous tornado storm comes through our community and catches us off guard, unaware because of its suddenness. And we all have reason to thank God for his patience, his perspective that he'd rather be patient with us than punish us, to give us a time of grace, to give us a time to hear the word, to hear both law and gospel, that we might sorrow over our sins, be honest before our God, demonstrate our contrition, our repentance for all that we have thought and said and done and embraced through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the power of sacraments, a reliance on Jesus, God's promises of salvation, the work that he did to fulfill all of those promises through his living and dying, giving us the ability to stand righteous before God, welcome in his sight, not just in this moment, any moment, especially the moment of our death, but for all eternity. Even if our life ends very suddenly, even randomly. The parable here is intended to get us to look very carefully and objectively, honestly, at our own lives. Is there visible fruit in my life? Do I show that my heart belongs to Jesus, that my hope is in heaven, that I have confidence in a resurrection from death to eternal life? Does each year of my life demonstrate more and more acts of love, of service, of thanksgiving, of commitment and obedience to my God who speaks to me in his word in a way that demonstrates a growing understanding through daily time spent in the word, through the perpetual receiving of the body and blood of Christ for my forgiveness and my strengthening? Is there evidence in my life that I'm taking seriously everything that God has told me about myself and my world and his plan of salvation and what it means for the way I live my life every day? Am I allowing that word to confront me, to convict me, to forgive me, and to shape me? Or would those around us ever for even a moment wish we might be gone rather than be a source of their temptation or a burden on their life or a hindrance to their pursuing eternal life with God through his gracious words and promises? No matter how evil anyone may be, no matter how sinful we might be, there is never a moment where any of us has the right to question the value of another human life and their opportunity to have a time of grace in which God reaches them with his word, through his love, through the people he has placed around them. No matter where they might reside, even if they're confined for correctional reasons, we should want for all of them. We should support the reality that there are those available to share God's love and forgiveness with anyone and everyone. That there may be no exceptions to this reality that God desires everyone to hear and know his patience and his love as his prominent, predominant message to humanity rather than his punishment. It's a very good thing that God is so much more patient than we are and is willing to give even the fruitless and the rebellious more gospel opportunities. Because more often than we would like to admit, on any given day, that includes us. Every last one of us. In the way we carry out the things we think, the words we speak, how we go about building or tearing down relationships, the reality of our daily lives. And that is exactly what this parable is, the reason that it's spoken. It's all about our being honest with ourselves in regard to our needing God's patience with us. It's about our response to God's amazing, limitless grace, His mercy, with resolve to confess our sins, to acknowledge who we have been, to live repentant lives in response to that grace. And it's also about us wanting that same grace, that same mercy, that same patience for everyone else. Certainly for those we love, who we treasure spending our lives with, but also for those who would stand opposed, who would cause grievance and hurt in our lives, that what might change them is the very promises of God that speak through powerful words such as this, the need for honesty and repentance and the reality of only God being able to save us from ourselves. Some of us, any of us, may at the very last moments of our lives die in an act of sin. We may actually have caused that reality by some choice that we've made, or at least had our life cut short by choices and behaviors all of our own making. Consequences of our own sins. But every single one of us has had even that sin paid for in the blood, the righteous, holy blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. His death and resurrection offer God's unconditional love to everyone. There's no exceptions in that proclamation. When Jesus said it is finished from the cross, he was saying it was completely accomplished for every last human being. God's preferring patience over punishment continues to give every last human being the opportunity to repent and believe. And so Lent continues to strip away that veneer, those layers of veneer that you and I and everyone else seems to build and place over the simple clarity and the simple power and the central message of what God would have us know about Him and ourselves and His Word. God is all about patient love. In the final weeks, and especially on that last day of Jesus' life, His patience and perspective were continually challenged by human beings that were working in every way they possibly could under the influence of Satan himself to work against God's plan, to work against God's promises. And yet Jesus, every moment of every day, down to that very last moment when he uttered, "It is finished," and gave up his spirit, spoke with patience, and served his human brothers and sisters with a patient perspective. All so that every one of us might have his word to speak us righteous and to call us to faith in his promises. God has never been about punishment. He has always been about patience. And as that simple reality washes over you today as a result of these portions of scriptures echoing in your ears and speaking to your heart, hear your Savior's call to repent, to believe, and to never perish, no matter how randomly your life may seem to end. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.